Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You can find a whole bunch of conversations with me and Don Moeller, with John Sarbanes and Martin O'Malley. This week we had our senators, Chris Van Hollen and Ben Cardin on. But Don does not have a State Fair shirt yet, and he's very, very jealous of my State Fair shirt. So I'm showing it off over in Catonsville. The El Guapo shirt didn't fit me right. It kind of cut me wrong, so I went back over the other day, got myself a little porchetta sandwich. My wife and I took a little stroll out in Howard County, stopped by State Fair, made some things. Stopped by Franco's on the way back, made some pizza happen as well. So living well in the 21228. Don Moeller's around. But as always, it is football season, and if you've seen the new BaltimorePositive.com, you've seen Luke Jones has his own little spot on the whole left side. It's on the mobile. There's a whole sports section. It's orange. Why is it orange? I don't know, Luke, but it is orange. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just another week in the NFL, another week of virus talk, I guess, more so at the collegiate level this week. But the big story here in town, of course, Ravens Sunday night football going to Foxborough. The kind of trip that seemed extremely daunting in the past, but not saying the Ravens can just show up and expect to win, but certainly a Patriots team that, let's just say it, I guess we don't say it's not your father's Patriots, because you think of the Patriots being terrible way back when, but
I enjoyed that period of time.
Brady-led.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the Tom Brady-led Patriots, that's for sure.
Well, I had to text message our dear friend Tom Valente over at the Ravens and say, I'm not making this one. And then, you know, and I think that may be shocking to people that I'm not going. Obviously, the COVID thing. My wife and I live downtown. On Wednesday, we saw the COVID line wrapped around the convention center for testing. A couple of people in my life had to go out and get tests because they had some exposure. I have been home, and other than in the woods, I've been at home and doing curbside at State Fair and at Amici's last week and walking around the city a little bit. But I thought about this, and I thought, man, when else would I ever get to go to New England where there's no traffic in, there's no traffic out, there's no Tom Brady, there's very little chance they're going to win. No one's going to be dropping F-bombs on me on the highway over there where you park the car. None of that's going to be going on. And, you know, I think about all those walks that you and I have made from Lot 52, you know, over the bridge, past the little mall and the movie theaters and the Gap and everything else that they have there and in Louis Bar, whatever the hell it's called. And then we go in there and we've had some happy times there, but we've had a lot more unhappy times. And this one feels to me to be like a big flying middle finger get even finally. Although that Ray Rice run was nice. You remember that, Luke? That was nice. And leaving there, going to the Super Bowl, that was nice. Try to forget the other times. But this is one of those times where, like, you go up there and this is the first time Tom Brady's not going to be in that stadium, in that land. That foghorn's still going to be there, although they might not play it as much, and it certainly isn't going to turn the fans on. I don't know if they're going to play that outfield song. Josie's on a vacation far away. I want to go just to see it be morbid, the antithesis of the Houston scene, but I'm not going, dude. I'm going to watch this one on TV, bro.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, but all those things you just mentioned are what makes this fun, though.
I
mean,
I know. You're right. You're right.
You make the trip, and look, I mean, even the virus concerns aside, it's just not very fun. I mean, to make a trip and make it a two-day thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I feel very blessed to be able to go to the press box and cover games here in Baltimore, but, you know, that's part of the value or lack thereof. Because, I mean, you're still zooming from the press box after the game, you know. So it is tough to, unless it's a shorter trip, like D.C., Philadelphia, and you've done
I will those. Always remember the time when Mr. Snyder gave me platinum parking.
There you go. Nice. Right.
So, yeah, there's little
first
things
I'll take
this. But I don't want to get used to this. You know, I think that's
sure.
My point.
I mean, and I think I think everyone feels that way. I mean, you know, we've said all along, and, you know, whether you've been more optimistic, less optimistic, you know, someone who thought that they shouldn't try at all. I mean, there's a whole gambit of opinions. And look, I'm not saying any are more valid than the others, but I think we all can agree that we don't. There's nothing about this that's ideal or perfect or, you know, that you're really embracing other than it's better than nothing. You know, that's kind of been my sports motto.
Well, it's kind of the only thing, too, when you consider the Terps got banged this week, what's been going on with Navy, certainly what's going on with COVID everywhere in our country and this tin pot leadership that we have right now, and hundreds of thousands of people a day are being diagnosed. I've said this all along. I'm worried about the NFL outside of a bubble, what happened here last week, what's probably going to happen at some point before Sunday, that somebody's going to pop a test, because it's inevitable at this point. You just hope it's not Lamar Jackson, right? Or you hope it's not your team, and you hope it's not the Patriots 3 hours after you play them, right, on Sunday night. But this is the other wild card in this whole NFL thing. And as we do sit here and talk about this rationally and with great intelligence every week, I think you and I do discuss this somewhat with 80% of the that we once had for doing it, because, like, there might not be a game Sunday night. Like, that's the other part for me with Indianapolis last week and not going was, well, the last thing I'm going to do is get to Indianapolis and find out, like, it's like that Eagles preseason game up there with the turf rim. Nah, can't play the game. Sorry, got a COVID test. Go home. There's still the chance of that, and that's going to happen one of these Sundays pretty soon, I would think, right? There's going to be a Sunday morning where they don't play the game.
Well, the Ravens or anyone
somebody
in the league.
Somebody.
I mean, yeah, somebody in the league, because it's already happened. I mean, we've already had rearranged schedules, and you're at the point now where fewer and fewer teams still have their bye week lying ahead. So, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, I'm not losing sleep over the next few nights, you know, the last few nights leading into Sunday night, thinking they're not going to play. But I also acknowledge that that's a possibility. You know, it's a non-zero chance of that happening. So, but you know, beyond that, I don't know what we can really do other than you proceed from a sports context as normal, and you talk about the game and
put the game on.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, that's, you know, again, we all acknowledge the overhead here, the dark cloud, however, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use. But, you know, in the meantime, they are playing games, and the Ravens are 6-2, and they're chasing the Steelers in the AFC North, and they're chasing the Steelers in Kansas City in terms of that race for the number one seed, and knowing how important that's going to be, unless we do have games that get canceled and we go to this 8-team format, and you know, then I guess there are no bye weeks. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's weird. But in the meantime, still have a really good team here in Baltimore that we're talking about, and a team that, for all the attention on Lamar Jackson and the offense and how bad it looked in the first half in Indy, how good it looked after halftime, I keep coming back to the defense and how well this group has continued to play. When you consider going back to the summer, Earl Thomas fiasco, losing Tavon Young in week two, Brandon Williams not playing in Philadelphia because of a close contact, Derek Wolfe missing some time. This past week, Marlon Humphrey being out. Your best defensive player, and Calais Campbell goes down on the third play of the game, and you know, he's their best defensive lineman, and all the guys who didn't practice over the course of this week, they gave up 10 points on Sunday. And look, we talked about it. Phillip Rivers isn't the Phillip Rivers of 2010, and that Colts offense isn't really a group that's scaring anyone. It's one of the reasons why I don't really take them all that terribly seriously in terms of sizing up legitimate contenders in the AFC rather than just t-shirt contenders. So
they're going to need that extra playoff seed, right? For them.
Right. Right. Well, I mean,
call them a playoff team, because we've watered down what a playoff, you can't say they're a playoff team now, because look at the Eagles.
It's seven. Right. Right. Sure. Well, there's always been those rare examples, but yeah, I
mean, seven,
there's certainly
eight,
a bigger
one.
Field, but every, you know, all this talk about the offense, and I get it, because you're talking about the league MVP and an offense that set all these records last year, and there's still this lingering novelty of the Ravens have a great offense. I mean, that's something that I think older fans, especially people that have been around since the beginning, that's still so foreign and so weird to a Ravens fan to think about having that kind of special offense. So when it's not clicking in the way that it did last year, of course, we're going to devote more attention to that. But in the meantime, you have this defense that I'm not going to put them there with the 2000 Ravens or the 2006 Ravens, but it's been really good. And when you consider some of the adversity and some of the challenges that group has had, and you know, some injuries, maybe not starters, you know, but certainly they've had a lot of depth questions. That's why they bring in a 37-year-old Tremont Williams this week to help fortify their depth in the secondary. But Wink Martindale and that group just they keep clicking and they continue to play at a really high level. And look, okay, people will point to Kansas City and say, well, they played poorly then. And well, most defenses play poorly against Kansas City, and they have to own that. There's no question. But this team is 6-2, way more because of its defense than its offense. And that's not to say that the offense won't continue to improve, but you know, this has kind of just been the week where I just look at that group after what they went through last week and how well they played. And I just think they deserve, they've gotten praise, but I think they deserve more praise than they've gotten to this point in the season.
Well, I'm glad you gave it to them. Baltimore Luke, you can be found out in Owings Mills or on Twitter, Facebook, or at the front of BaltimorePositive.com, where all of our work now lives at WNST. formerly.net, but if you click on WNST.net, you go to Baltimore Positive. All of our sponsors have made this happen. My friends from Taharka are going to be offering a special Baltimore Positive discount. I just found out about this. Luke, they're going to be giving you $15.70 off your 8-pack order. So we're going to be promoting the AM 1570 part of that with our friends at Taharka. Planet Fitness still open, socially distanced. I'm getting Teddy on next week to talk about working out with this weather and COVID and rain and bad conditions, how to stay in shape. Very important this winter. Our friends at Royal Farms, that's what you do after you eat the fried chicken, is you get in shape. But I'm on to coffee right now because it's coffee month. I did not sleep last night, so I got to get some coffee in here. Rofo, always in a cup. Got my cold roofing mug and my Liberty Pure Solutions hat. You'll be hearing more and more about all of our WNST and Baltimore Positive sponsors, all available at BaltimorePositive.com as well. Luke, if I'm not mistaken, there was a point on Monday morning where you pooped on Joe Flacco. And then Joe Flacco went out there and flicked it around on Monday night. Maybe one too many flicks around a four-minute mark there late in the game. But we got a chance to see the Patriots. You got a chance to see Flacco to Breshad Perriman. You got a chance to see the worst team. Got a chance to see what the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes look like. But some impressions of what you saw from New England. And you know, I know you've got the dirt halfway, you know, up on the five on Flacco. But he did go out and throw the ball around. He still throws the ball well, man.
Oh, he played extraordinarily well. We just haven't seen that very much in recent years. I mean, you know, honestly, that was kind of one of the games. I always think back, and you know I'm a big baseball history nerd, and I think back to Babe Ruth in his final year with the Boston Braves. He has the 3-home run game. Now, historically, it's inaccurate. People think that was his final game, and they saw the John Goodman, the Babe movie that was just terrible in the early 90s. That wasn't his last game, but he had a 3-home run game toward the end of his time in 1935. Joe Flacco was so good on Monday night. It was one of those games where I kind of just wish, because I mean, he's with the Jets, man. I mean, that team is terrible, and they have their young quarterback that they're trying to fit, you know, Joe Douglas is trying to figure out if Sam Darnold's going to be their guy of the future. But how do you figure that out?
See, this is where you're trying to get him over the Dallas Cowboys and get Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, give him something, give him anything.
No, this is where I'm saying, Joe, great game. Just go home and be with your kids and Dana. Like at this point, like that's how I feel. But anyway, going back to the Patriots.
Six more weeks.
Joe deserves credit. He played very, very well. And it was fun to see him play that well. And a little bit of what could have been, I suppose, with him and Breshad Perriman not working out here in Baltimore with that combination. But, I mean, New England, I think the thing, everyone wants to point to the offense and Cam Newton, who looked really good early on, and he tests positive for COVID, comes back and was not, I mean, just terrible for a couple weeks. He's looked better the last couple weeks, but you still look at who's he throwing to. You know, he doesn't really have weapons that anyone's going to fear. I mean, you look at New England's wide receivers going up against the Ravens secondary. I mean, who's going to get open? And that's not to say that they can't scheme and spreading out the Ravens secondary and use some bunch formations and stacks like Pittsburgh did. But, you know, it's just really difficult envisioning them being able to move the ball through the air consistently. I think you do look at their running game, and I think it's more notable, even though the Ravens have been good against the run this year, they're not going to have Calais Campbell, barring a miracle on Sunday night. So think about it. Campbell, before even Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison, Campbell was the feature defensive acquisition in response to what? Derrick Henry and the Titans running all over them in January. So you don't have Calais Campbell. It's not to say that New England's going to run all over them, but if there's one concern that I have, and it's relative when I say concern, it would be a New England being able to run the ball and Cam doing some of the things that he likes to do. He pays a price for that, but that's something I could see them having some, again, relative modest success with. But I think, you know, as much as you focus on the offense because of Tom Brady being gone and, you know, all the talk about their offense last year. I mean, that was the big thing with Brady last year, not having enough help around him. I think it's been the fall of their defense more than anything. I mean, that's not a good defense. That Jets offense, and again, no disrespect to Joe Flacco because he's only played a couple games. That Jets offense has been horrendous this year. They look like a perfectly legitimate offense on Monday night against that Patriots team. Now, Stephon Gilmore didn't play, and he's, you know, back practicing this week, albeit on a limited basis. He's missed the last two games with a knee injury, and he was Defensive Player of the Year last year, so he makes a difference. I don't want to discredit that point, but
well, the way this game would change would be the Ravens' offense kicking the ball around,
well,
or
right,
yeah, you know, blocked punts, interceptions, fumbles. That's the way the Patriots are going to stay in this game on Sunday night.
That's what I mean. That's what you're lend. You know, that's what you tend to believe. I think that doesn't mean I'm going to just trust the Ravens' offense to come out and score 45 points either. I mean, we haven't seen that level of consistency from this group. But
I hope they don't do that because I'm not going.
But this is a Patriots defense that hasn't been particularly good against the pass or the run. I mean, it's been a bottom 10 defense. And when you consider where they were last year, you know, it's a little jarring. But then you remember they had quite a few opt-outs compared to other teams. And obviously moving on from the Brady era and some other players that they've counted on have gotten older. So, I mean, it's a team in transition. And, you know, I gave them a lot of credit for how they looked the first couple weeks of the season. I mean, remember that Sunday night game in Seattle where they gave the Seahawks everything they could handle, came down to a goal line play at the very end. But, you know, they haven't looked the same since then. And all right, you know, they won on Monday night. They beat the Jets on the road, whatever a road win means these days. But I mean, it's just not a team that, you know, you see they're the Patriots, although their uniforms are a little bit different than, you know, they tweaked that, I guess, but they're not really the Patriots anymore. And that's not to knock Bill Belichick. I'm sure Bill Belichick will have a couple things from a schematic standpoint that will give his team, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, a chance to slow down this offense, but that doesn't mean he has the horses to execute that plan. So that's where I look at this as an opportunity for the Ravens to go on the road again, not a hostile environment anymore, but go take care of business because, you know, you have Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up the next couple weeks. And, you know, that's not to say you just show up here and expect to win. You have to go up to Foxborough and play good football. But it's just, you know, it would be disingenuous for me to look at this game and have, you know, list all these concerns. As I mentioned, I think New England has a pretty good running game. I am a little concerned with Calais Campbell not being there on the first level, but, you know, this is a Ravens defense that played pretty darn well without Calais Campbell for all but three snaps on this past Sunday. So is New England, where do you rank New England's offense in comparison to Indy? They run the ball better, but certainly not a group that you're that I would think Wink Martindale is losing much sleep preparing over this week.
He is Luke Jones. He can be found, Luke at WNST.net. And, of course, Baltimore Luke out on Twitter and Instagram and all over social media and during the game and the games all day on Sunday when they're playing games. We're going to be covering them. Make sure you find Luke out at Baltimore Positive. You can find me in all of the same places, including LinkedIn. You can throw me a note anytime, ness@baltimorepositive.com. We got new liners, new sound, new stuff, new conversations. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Sports and Baltimore Positive.